This year is going to be on
honor.
Okay, right. So now, what does honor mean? So now let's try and work this one out. The word for honor is kavod. What's the word for honor? Kavod comes from the word kaved, heavy. To honor something means to give it weight, importance. Right? Now, real honor isn't like the Gemara says, to honor parents means that you bring them food, right? Right? Or machilo, mashkehu, you feed them, right? That's to honor them. You bring them, you know, a cup of tea, you bring them their food, you do things for them, right? But the real honor is the importance you associate to them in your mind. Okay? That's the real honor. The way you do that practically is what's spoken in halacha. But the source of the honor is the association you attach with them in your mind that they are important people. And so is too with all honor. To honor someone means to hold of him as he has weight, he has importance. That's what honor is. That's what honor means. You with me? Okay. Given that, I want to go and ask, the opposite of honor is, what's the opposite of honor? To embarrass, to be mezalzel, to be mevaze a person, to be mezalzel a person, to look down on a person, to think badly of a person, not to give him weight. That's why klala, loshon kal, means light. Lekalel someone, to curse someone, means to think of him in a light way, to mevaze him. Right? Bazui, right? Is someone who's very unimportant. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the opposite. So, now, we learn from, I think it's going to be this week's parasha, right? We learn from this week's parasha with the Maisa of Yehuda and Tama, right? This week's parasha is Mechiras Yosef. Right, coming up to Hanukkah, Parshas Vayeshev, we learn about the Maase of Yehuda and Tama. What's the Maase of Yehuda and Tama? Yehuda thought that his daughter-in-law did a certain action with someone that she shouldn't have, and because of that, she deserved the death penalty. The Maase, the person who did that action was Yehuda. Yehuda didn't know that. So Yehuda, who was the Beis Din at the time, paskened on her that she deserved death penalty. Tama didn't say, from you, I'm pregnant. She didn't tell Yehuda because I would have embarrassed him. All she did was, she gave the same cane that Yehuda gave her for that action. She gave it back to Yehuda, and he said, Sadka Vimeni, he was Moded. And from that, the Gemara learns that it's better, because Tama was going to be burnt, right? That was the death of a bad kohen. She was going to be burnt. It's better for a person to be nisraf, to be burnt, the kivshana ish, right? To be burnt alive, right? Than to embarrass a person. And Tosfos in Ksuvos has two pshatim. Or that this was allowed for her to do, it wasn't an obligation. Or Tosfos says it's an obligation. It's an actual obligation for a person to give up his life and not to embarrass another person. I.e., if a person comes up to you and says, oh, Chas v'Shalom, you know, they're going to kill Reuven unless he kills Shimon. Reuven has to allow himself to be killed and not kill Shimon. What happens if a person comes up to Reuven and says, I'm going to kill you unless you embarrass Shimon? Is Reuven allowed to embarrass Shimon? According to this second Chanatosa, it was an obligation what Tama did. He's not allowed to do that. Why? Because embarrassing is avizrayhu de shvichus domim. It's related, it's an anaf, it's a branch, right, of killing. Tosa says, Mother, you're allowed to do it. But whatever we say the pshat is, it comes out that to embarrass a person is to kill him. To embarrass a person is to kill him. What does it mean to embarrass a person is to kill him? I mean, it doesn't seem to us. I mean, it's a very, very big aver. The Gemara says, a person embarrasses another person, ain lo chelik lo olam haba. He doesn't have a portion of the world to come. It's a very bad thing. Right? It doesn't have a death penalty, but it's a very, very bad thing. So now, let's try and understand this. Given our original understanding of honor and of klala and of cursing a person not to be, to feel convenient is unimportant, when you embarrass a person, what do you do? What's beautiful about a person? What's human about a person? What's divine about a person? What gives a person weight? If I say, wow, I mean, the truth is, you know, nowadays that's what people say. I was once at a funeral. Lo Aleinu, there's a person, a young man, who was obviously wasn't very frum, but you know, most of the time people at funerals don't speak this way. Truth, I haven't been to a funeral that I've seen the people speak this way. And someone stood up in the hesped and said about this young man, he knew how to enjoy life, he knew how to drink, he knew how to have fun. That's a hesped. That's a hesped of a person. No one, when they eulogize a person, speaks that way. I mean, he knew how to eat schnitzel. He knew how to enjoy the schnitzel that he was eating. What are we trying to say here? If you go to a cow and you say to a cow, wow, Miss Cow, you really know how to enjoy that grass there, right? Probably the only response you're going to get back from her is moo, right? That's about all, right? And she's quite happy without the compliment you give her. So long as she has a grass, she can be eating and eating and eating, and that's all she needs to be doing. When she's in her milk, she's interested in eating. You know, it's a good chutzpah. It's a good partnership. She does the eating, we do the milk, everything's fine. The lashon for behema, right, is ba-ma. What you see, ba, that's what there is. Right? What you see is what there is. That's what there is. It's a physical animal, it's a physical thing, that's what there is. Another lashon is, in Gemara, in Baba Kama says, a be'er. Be'er is a behema, right? Why is be'er a behema? We learn from Psukim, it's a Psukim about Shein and Regal, right? We learn Be'er is Behema. Be'er is a lotion of consumption. When a person consumes, he's a Behema. So in the world, the modern world, what do they call us? Consumers. Basically, you're called a Behema. You're called an animal. That's who you are. You consume iPhones, iPads, I don't know what else you consume, food, you consume ice cream, you consume burgers, you consume, I don't know, all the tech stuff, computers, films, apps, Androids, God knows, this is commercial time, okay? But, okay. Right. No, commercial, I'm just joking. No, you understand. That's what consumers. You consume relationships as well. You get married because you want to marry a certain type of look and a certain type of features and certain type of things, and you consume her. You know, it's very interesting. The word for love in Hebrew is ava. Ava means to give. So once I saw, you know, I think once I was in Tel Aviv and I saw like a placard there, and the English was to fall in love. So I looked at the Hebrew, and the Hebrew said, lehit ahev. Now, you know, you have lilbosh means to dress. Lehit labresh means to dress oneself. So lehit ahev means to love oneself. So like the Hebrew said to love oneself, the English said to fall in love. So like there's this very famous story that a lot of people say. So like I mean, nowadays it wouldn't be the story of a piece of fish, it would be the story of the piece of schnitzel, like Wednesday. Say, wow, Rabbi, I really love my schnitzel. Look, it's delicious. I can have another one of those, you know, schnitzel day? I take two pieces, there's extra for everyone. Yeah, I take two pieces. I love my schnitzel. So the rabbi at this story, it wasn't schnitzel, it was a fish, but fish is too, like, you know, who loves their fish? Fish is like an off day by yeshivas, right? Schnitzel's the end day, right? I love my schnitzel, right? So the rabbi says, you love your schnitzel? You love yourself. If you love the schnitzel, you wouldn't have shechted it. I mean, he didn't shecht it. You have a farm of chickens, right? And you would be shechting them if you loved the schnitzel, right? You don't love the schnitzel. You're devouring the schnitzel, right? That's what me and Litaev. You don't love the girl. You're devouring her. That's what Be'er is. Be'er is a behemoth. To devour is a behemoth. That's the Western culture. The Western culture, they call you a consumer. They're not embarrassed. That's what you are. You consume. You spend your whole life consuming the car, the house, the redecorating of it. Consume. And there's always new ideas for you to consume more. There's always new advertisements for new, more and more consuming. Right? That's what it is. Consume. You with me? So if that's lashon is for a behemoth, that's a lashon for an animal. If I compliment you and I tell you, wow, you really know how to drink. You really know how to eat schnitzel. What a good schnitzel eater you are. What am I telling you? You're an animal. If I went to a person and said, you're an animal, he'd like that. That's an insult or a compliment?
Insult.
Insult. If you will notice, all the insults, all forms of insults, is associating a person with his animalistic side. Because you're making him light. You're lightening what he really is. That's the klala. Because all averas come from his animalistic side. If you tell a guy, wow, you're a real great angry person, he'll like you for that one. Unless he's some crazy guy, you know, like he's in the Bronx and he's happy that he's this Hulk man, right? I don't know how else you could describe it, right? You know, he throws around things, but he gets really annoyed. He beats up everyone in the vicinity of his Arba Amas, right? Some people are proud of that. Some people like being animals. You know, you see these people, you know, like they go on. Too much about it, but you know, I can imagine, you know, these muscle builder guys, you know, look what an animal I am, right? Or some people say, I can fight an ox. Oh, you're a human being, are you bigger than an ox? Oh, well, yes, you are really an ox, aren't you? Okay. What about the brain they have? Oh, I can jump up and throw this ball into this big hole over there, right? Right, I can run around like an animal, or, you know. I can even be better than a chimpanzee, right? And play basketball, right? I mean, people, let's be honest. What is there in sports apart from showing off your goof? That was Yava. Showing off your goof. See what my body can do. My body's perfect. See what I can run. Olympiada, all these things, you know? It's muturaf ala sechel. It's like we don't understand how we came back to Eretz Yisrael. And the very Maccabees who fought all of this Yavan, the Olympics in Israel, they call the Maccabees. It's like, you know, they couldn't have found a different name for it. Like these Maccabees who fought Yavan, who fought what they represented, now we're going to become Mityavnim. We ourselves are going to be the Yavan. And we call it the name of the Maccabees. How stupid can you get? Like, it doesn't make sense. It's like the anti-Maccabee games it should be called, not the Maccabee games. It should be called the Greek games, the Olympics. They don't call it the Olympics. Why they call it the Maccabees? What's Jewish about it? Okay, you know. Anyway, but let's go back. So all what's within us, all when a person's making light of you, when he's making you unimportant, He's associating you with your Maisa Behema. He's associating you with your animalistic characteristics. You with me?
Yeah.
That makes sense? That's why I was so upset to hear this person on a Hesped saying, wow, what a beautiful animal he is. He could drink, he could have fun. He knew how to enjoy life. When he said enjoy life, it didn't mean he used to sit and learn a Gemara or do kindness to other people. It means to have fun doing everything, you know, like mucking around, behemoth stuff, right? Yeah. That's not life. That's not life. So when we think about covered, what do we think about? What's giving importance to? It's giving importance to the neshama in a person. To see the soul of a person, to see his spirituality, to see his tzelem elokim. When you see the tzelem elokim of a person, you're giving him kavod. You're giving him honor. You with me? That's what's happening. When we give a person weight, it means we're giving weight to his tzelem elokim, to his spiritual side. So now it makes sense. When you embarrass a person, what do you mean you embarrass him? You embarrass him because you mention his side, his behemi. You're saying, you're an animal. You did an aveira, chas v'shalom, you're an animal. If you're an animal, what am I putting, what am I saying about you? I'm saying I'm at the moment that I'm embarrassing you, I'm saying you don't have a neshama, you didn't behave with a neshama, you aren't a neshama, you aren't a tzelem elokim. I'm negating from you a tzelem elokim, I'm negating from you a neshama, your soul. When I negate from you your soul, it's as if you don't have one, I'm saying. That's killing you. The separation of your soul from your body is killing you. When I'm saying you behave like an animal, I mean that you're not behaving with the soul you have in you. Are you separated from it? That's called killing. That's why to embarrass a person is like killing him. You with me? Make sense now? It's very similar. Yeah? Killing a person, you remove his soul. Embarrassing, you're saying you're living without your soul. That's like killing his soul. He's not living with it. It's like it's dead by him. Yeah? Make sense? Okay, now let's go further with this. Now that we know this, so we understand now what honor. Honor means to give weight to the person's spiritual side. That means, when I see a person, I have to notice within him his tzelem elokim. I have to give weight to his tzelem elokim. Everyone has. Everyone has a klipa. Everyone has a shell. Right? His neshama is like the pri, and his guf is like the shell of the pri. Right? The klipa around the neshama. Right? Everyone has that neshama. So when I see a person, to honor him means to see the importance of his spiritual side. To see the spiritual side in him and give that importance. To notice what's spiritual about him. To notice his tzelem elokim, to notice the divine in him. That means to honor a person. If I can't see the divine in a person, that means I don't honor him. If I see him as a bad person, as a person who does aveiros, chas v'shalom, that's not called honoring him. That's where the pasuk comes. If you look in the Chumash, where the issue of embarrassing a person comes from, it says, "Hochech tochiach et amitecha." You should certainly rebuke your friend. Velo tisa alav chet, and you shouldn't come to an avera of embarrassing him. I.e., when you rebuke him, you should rebuke him with ahava, with love, and not in public. And not in a shouting way, even between you and himself. If you say it in a way that it's hurtful to him, that's also embarrassing him. Right? That's why sometimes you have to hint it, sometimes you have to do it in certain other ways, right? Not to embarrass him. Because if you embarrass him, that's like killing him. And we learn that from Hochech Tochich Tamitech. Why? Because here you're telling a person off for doing a Maisa Behemah, for being an animal. Behaving with his goof, behaving with his physical aspect of him, not with the spiritual aspect of him. So in that pasuk is where it says lo tisalav chet, because that's the embarrassing bit. You wouldn't understand. Hocher tochit to certainly rebuke your person from doing something which is a ma'aseh, doing something which is animalistic. But lo tisalav chet, and don't do it in a way that this person feels embarrassed. Do it in a way that he show you your love, that you care for him. That means you have to really believe to love a person means when I'm coming to mochiach you, I know that it's a mistake. Chet is loshen mistake, lahatot, to make a mistake. Because the real you is your neshama. So I'm coming to tell you, the real you is your neshama. And I'm saying, please be your neshama, because that's who you really are. That's a proper tochocha. But if I come to you and say, ah, you, how can you do such a disgusting thing? You, that means I'm saying you did it. That's embarrassing you, because I'm associating you with your goof. Beautiful. And then that's chet. That's the chet of embarrassing. You with me? Make sense? Yeah? Clear? We have to realize, when we're explaining what honor is, we're explaining also what's important. It says, v'ahavta l'ra'echa kamocha. Right? To love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. The Rambam says, what's to love your neighbor as yourself? Means, lachus amamono, to worry about his money, like if he lost an object, or if he left something here, or if something's going to be destroyed, you save it from being destroyed. V'leshabcho b'dvarim, and to praise him with words. When you praise a person with words, you're giving him honor. To love a person means to give him honor, to show him something important. So why does it say "Va'atarecha kamocha"? Because you have to love yourself. You have to respect yourself. Respect yourself means the realization that you're not an animal, that you are a neshama, you're a soul. You know these Israelis? They might say it for the wrong reasons. When they go out with it, they'll say, you're my neshama. They might, you know, in America, yeah, they might say, you are my goof, right? But at least they got the right word here. I mean, they're, saying it, they're not saying it on the right part, but they're saying it in the right word.
I never heard that.
Right? It's, you're a neshama. You're a soul. You have to realize that. You can't give importance to other people unless you yourself are important. You feel that about yourself. The only way you feel that about yourself is if you realize that you are a neshama. That's what's important about you. You are Tzelem Elohim. That's what's important about you. And I think there's a midrash that says that a klal bigger than V'ahavta Rechah Kamocha is that a person was created with Tzelem Elohim. I.e. that realization that that's your shorish, that's who you really are, that's the concept of honoring yourself. When you honor yourself, by nature you'll honor that in other people. If you honor the physical in yourself, I'm a he-man, I'm, you know, I can push a bull, right? I can run 100 meters, right? You're honoring the physical aspect of self. Maybe 100 meters is because you're honoring the stamina and the willpower of a person. I don't know, that could be something spiritual. But if it's just basically, you know, like a physical thing, I eat schnitzel well, right? I know how to drink, right? Then you don't honor yourself. So how can you honor another person? The only way, if you honor that which is physical in you, that means you're going to honor that which is physical in another person. That means you're honoring the Maisa Behem of another person. If you honor the Maisa Behem, the animalistic aspect of a person, because you honor that in you, that means you're mekalel. You're not giving honor to that person. You're not honorable. That's why the world doesn't have a concept of honor. The more the world goes after the physical, the more the world is the consumer in the world. That means you see yourself as the be'er. You see yourself as the animal. If you see yourself as an animal, he's just a bigger animal. My descendants were the apes. I'm just a bigger ape that needs better bananas. Like, you know, the ape had a banana, I have an iPhone. It's just a bigger banana. Another way of getting all the things I want to, until someday they're going to plug it into my brain and I won't even need to do anything with my life. Chas v'shalom. They'll probably become illegal by then. But people will probably still do it. You understand?
Yeah, that's incredible. They're just being a consumer in your hand.
Yeah. Anything you want. You buy whatever you want. You game whatever you want. You video whatever you want. You can be in a... You know, people go... My brother was telling me once he had a worker in his office. I think the game's called Goblin or something. It's like a world famous game. I don't know if it's anymore. I don't know, maybe I've got... And people actually paid money. This guy plays on the computer hours. I mean, my brother told me, he's like, he has a problematic marriage and all sorts of things. And he's playing with this game. And he's like buying stuff on the game. You buy a wife, you buy a thing, you buy things, right? And you actually pay real money to do this on the game.
To your imagination.
And yeah, you're living in your imaginative life because real life's too difficult for you. You don't want to face real life. Video games are that. You want to be a sportsman. You want to be a basketball player. You want to be a this. You want to be a that. You want to be, right? And you want to be the basketball, so they have, like, you know, the real basketball players, you know, doing manipulations and all sorts of things, right? You want to be in that set. Go play basketball. No, the kids now play video games. Why play basketball? They can play video games. They can be a basketball player by fiddling around things. They can be in an airplane by fiddling around things. They can be in a car by fiddling around things.
Yeah, it's really incredible.
It's imagination. It's living a false life. I mean, that's what TV is as well. But this is worse than TV because you become involved with the TV. You become the actor in this imaginative world. And then you begin to believe it. Then, you know, like, the real world isn't so much fun. It's much more fun driving the Grand Prix, right? Or being a horse, or being, I don't know what they do, right? Or being a warrior and, you know, like, killing everyone, right? These games are getting more and more sophisticated. Once one person used to write a game, now it's a whole set, a whole team of people. This is a world of delusion, a world of imagination. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. Apart from the problem that it creates ADHD and all these other things that it does, right? You become just, you know, trigger, you know, moving all the time, working out and seeing things, right? Okay. You know, it's good for, they're saying it's good for the American Air Force, or because they're not going to send any more pilots. They're going to be, everything's going to be, you know, remote controlled. So, you know, you're going to be a pilot, but you're going to sit in NASA there.
And the best video game players.
And, you know, yeah, the game players. You're not even going to go, they're not going to send anyone to Iran. They're just going to send all these, like, robots to Iran, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, really. What do you need a plane for? You just send someone in from America, you send in a satellite, and he controls a plane, and he goes bombs. That's the next planes.
Yeah.
Of course. So it's just going to be a computer game. Yeah. I want to ask you a question. Forget now terror. Who are the most honorable people you think in the secular world? No rabbis, I'm talking about goyim, non-religious.
Music player, musicians.
Musicians, what else?
Philosophers.
Philosophers. Okay, in terms of people, who do you think?
Specific people?
Yeah, honorable people.
I guess
people you respect.
People you respect.
Would you respect a philosopher who is not a good person?
Yeah.
No, okay. Would you respect a musician who's a terrible guy? So he's not honorable. So what's honorable? So it's not the music he plays, it's not the philosophy he teaches.
I guess nurses and doctors, I think.
Nurses and doctors, who else? Someone told me when I was in Mochon Yaakov, they told me Bill Gates they respect, another woman
big
called Oprah. No, not because big business.
Oprah.
I don't know, I didn't expect to be. She's some woman who gives a lot of money to charity. Yeah. Also, Bill Gates, they said because he's a guy who gives a lot of money to charity. Right? Okay, I don't know who these people are really, but I'm just saying. But the nekuda I'm trying to get out of you is the people you honor are the people who you feel do good to other people. Or intellectual good, or physical good, whatever. They give charity. The people we honor, the people who do good, i.e. the people who express the neshama, the purpose of their creation. God created us lehitiv, to do good to us. Therefore our purpose in life is lehitiv, to do good. That's what it means. That's what it asks when that question comes. You understand? So if the purpose, if the people you honor is lehitiv, so why does the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos say, who is honorable? Someone who honors his fellow man.
his the creations, i.e. also non-Jews, right? All of God's creations. It should say, the person who's honorable is a person who's mative, who gives good to other people. That should be the honorable person. So what is Mishnah telling us? That an honorable person is someone who honors others. What's it telling us? What's the chiddush there?
It's not just deeds, it's also one's outlook on that person, their intentions, how they treat them, the way in which they view them, not merely just how they...
Yeah, but why, if we're saying the most honorable thing of a person is a person, the most honorable person is a person that's good to others. So the Mishnah should say that. Who's honorable? A person who does good to others. It shouldn't say, who's ezehu mechubad hamachabed et abriyas. It should say, who's honorable? Someone who honors other people. It should say, who's honorable? A person who does good to others. That's an honorable person. So there's a chiddush in this Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us that the highest level of goodness you can do to another person is to honor him. To give him importance. That means to honor him in your mind. Because that's what he said is the main honor. To see everyone as Selam Elokim. Now we go back. Now we understand very well the Rambam says, Rabbi Akiva says, Klal Gadol B'Torah means V'hafta L'Recha Kamocha, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the Rambam says, to worry about his finances, worry about his monetary, and the Shabcho B'Dvarim. Which is better? To worry about his financial, right, his wealth, or to praise him with words? Of course to praise him with words is more important. Of course, so the Rambam is saying the best way, the Klal Gadol B'Torah, the biggest Klal in the Torah, is to honor a person, to praise him with words. Praise him with words does not mean to flatter him. Praise with words means to see and believe in him those things you're saying good about him. And then we hear, there's a bigger rule, is to realize that everyone's created with Tzelem Elohim. That means to see the depth of the honor in a human being. That's a bigger cloud. Because when I believe, when I see you, Tzelem Elohim, then I'm really honoring you. And that's the tachlis. The world was created, right? L'chabdo, to reveal God's glory. How do I reveal God's glory in this world? When I see everything in this world has weight in relationship to Him. It's easy to see how a chair has weight in relation to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I use it for sitting on a linen to listen to the Tashia. It's much harder when I see a human being and I see how he related to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But when I see the Tzelem Elohim, I'm bringing that back to him. I'm connecting all this world back to him. It's all a chabdo. I see the whole world as a world of honoring him. So the tachlis, the biggest tova. Now I'm not saying this with. I'm saying this like I'm. This is it. This is the truth. This is it. This is it. If I want to do the biggest good to a person, the biggest good, I respect him. I see the nekudas in him, which are important, and I praise him for those things, and I encourage him. That's the biggest good you can give to a person. I'll say another Gemara. The Gemara says, it's better, than giving a person a cup of milk, i.e. giving him sustenance, to show him the white of your teeth. It's much better to show him the white of your teeth than giving him the milk. That you're sustaining him physically. That's milk. Milk, that's what milk represents. Mother's milk. Milk represents sustain physically. Or to show him the white of your teeth. Wasn't you showing the white of your teeth? You're smiling to him. What does it show? You think of him highly. That means you're honoring him. You're sustaining him spiritually. What are you saying? You're a neshama. What do you mean when I say you're a neshama? You're a soul. You're a Tzelem Elohim. That means I see in you what you really are. I'm giving you life. I'm saying you have life. Life is that you're living with your soul. That's what it means to give honor. You're giving life to a person. We forgot this because we live in a world that they're so into the consumer, the animal aspect, that we've lost this whole concept of honor. Honor can only exist in a world where there's this concept of spirituality. We see a human being as a spiritual thing. You with me? That's why we don't live in a world where there's honor. Proper honor. The more we live on a spiritual plane, the world is a world of honor, and the more we reveal God's honor in the world, because we see everything associated with the spiritual. You with me? Make sense? Okay. And the reason for us it's so hard to put into practice is because the hardest part of this is to honor ourselves. If we could honor ourselves, we could honor other people. That's what it means. V'ahavta re'acha kamocha. You honor, love yourself, you honor yourself. You see, you're a tzelem Elokim. You're not this schnitzel guy. Everyone understands. Wednesday, everyone's a schnitzel guy, right? But you're not a schnitzel guy. We eat schnitzel so we can learn better. Yeah. Of course we do.
Yeah.
Right? And two pieces can be on a good pshat and chumash that day. On chumash, Wednesdays, our Gemara learning and our Chumash learning is 10 times better because we have two pieces of schnitzel. That's the vort. And the cake afterwards, right? That's it. Revolvi also explains that the reason we find it so hard to honor ourselves and see the good in ourselves is because that will obligate us to do more. And it's hard for us to be obligated. So we don't want to see all necessary the good in ourselves. We always want to give us an excuse in order not to be obligated with more. So you're asking a question here. If you love yourself too much, you might get to haughtiness, to arrogance. So there's a difference. Knowing what you are is not arrogance. Knowing what you are and thinking that you did all that you are, that could be arrogance. You have to know what you are and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you it as a present. And therefore, you're obligated to use it in a good way for Him.